In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of the resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
So, we are encouraged today by the readings that God keeps his promises. Scripture gets fulfilled. Now, another message in the scriptures is that although God keeps his promises and fulfills scripture, it doesn't always happen according to our timeline. In today's first reading, taken from one of the most important periods of salvation history, when the kingdom had broken down because the people of God were unfaithful, their unfaithfulness had led to division and weakness. But regardless of that, God was keeping his promises. And God wanted the king of Judah to know that as Isaiah spoke to him. But he wasn't terribly impressed because that was like a prophecy for some time to come. Didn't seem too immediate, and it seemed better to rely on people and military to ensure safety. Ultimately, that didn't work out well for him either. And that is part of the problem that we have, right? Relying on God, trusting God to do what we know God does, what we know God can do, even though it takes longer than we hope. I mean, imagine all the Old Testament is full of prophecies, which when looked upon from the present to the past, tell the history of salvation up to the coming of the Savior, Christ. The story of God's action in history. When we look back, we can see all sorts of amazing things happening and being tied together. They are, in a sense, the list of God's promises, all of which then are fulfilled in Christ, the Savior and Redeemer. Matthew indicates that 11 times in his gospel, that the scriptures are fulfilled in Christ. How the events in the life of Jesus are all fulfillments of Old Testament promises, that they all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. St. Paul, in the second reading, affirms Matthew that the gospel of Jesus Christ had been promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. But that was hundreds of years between those really more direct prophecies and the coming of Christ. Thousands of years for the ultimate fulfillment. Generation after generation after generation. It's no wonder they got tired of waiting, right? We get tired how quickly? Even though more often than not God is answering our prayers, we're just not always paying attention for the answers, or they're not exactly what we expect. But this is our God, and God is a God we can count on. Even when we're not so sure, even when we're unfaithful, God doesn't say, yeah, you know, you folks are just really annoying me lately, this generation. So all the promises of fulfillment in Christ, that's just not going to happen. No, I changed my mind. You just sin too much. So no more goodies for you. God doesn't do that. And isn't that awesome that God doesn't do that? Because we are really bad at being faithful, aren't we? Amen? Do you know what the word amen means? Do you know what the point of that word is? What's that? Yeah, it's an affirmation, right? It's true. What you said is true. Amen. We're a little bit reserved in the Catholic Church, but there's a lot of room for that word coming from the people. Amen? Amen. Well, God is our foundation of hope. Pope Benedict XVI said in an encyclical, he said, God is a God who keeps his promises. Not any God, but the God who has a human face, who has loved us to the end, each one of us, and humanity in its entirety. His kingdom isn't imaginary, situated in a future that will never arrive. It is not a pipe dream. It's not an opiate for the masses. It's the real deal. Pope Benedict did not say that. He meant it, though. His kingdom is present wherever he is loved, wherever his love reaches us. His love alone gives us the possibility of soberly persevering day by day without ceasing to be spurred on by hope in a world which, by its very nature, is imperfect. His love is at the same time our guarantee of the existence of what we vaguely sense and which, nevertheless, in our deepest selves, we wait for. A life that is fully alive in Christ for all eternity. Now, to be a people who cling to that hope, who aren't just going through the motions, but who continue to pray and pray and pray, even though it seems to take forever to get an answer sometimes, to pray and pray and pray, even though we might wonder if God is hearing us. God knows that it's difficult for us. He knows that spiritually we all suffer from a little attention deficit syndrome, right? But he gives us his word and he gives us his grace to repeat over and over and over the affirmation that he is a God we can trust, that he is a God who answers, who listens, that he is a God who understands. He is a God who came among us, born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit, becoming man, one like us in all things but sin. He gets it. And sometimes seasons like this, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, New Year's, can be among the hardest for some of the people of God because of family members who have passed in this season and the difficult memories attached to that, because of alienated members of the family who won't be there to celebrate, because of members of the family who have lost their faith, who don't believe in the promises of God anymore. And so, for some parents, their hearts are broken because their children have left the church and can't really enter into this, the true depth of the meaning of this celebration we're about to have next week. And some children are heartbroken over the loss of faith in their parents. It can be a very hard time, a time that challenges us in our faith, a time when spiritually some of us have really been striving during a season of Advent, making more room for Christ, going to confession, being reconciled with others, striving to really seek God so as to be able to really celebrate Christmas. But they doubt that they're making any progress. They wonder about God's love for them. They get discouraged spiritually. Wonder if they should keep going. Sometimes this is true for people where Christmas has changed and traditions are no longer observed. Family members have passed who kept those traditions, and others have failed to pass those on. And there's a sadness about that. Somehow it's not the same. Because in many ways we attach man-made traditions around Christmas in such a way that they become or displace, they become more important or displace the centrality of Jesus. And so we struggle. And there may be many struggling now. And that's why the Lord gives us his word in this time. It says, hey, I know it's hard. I know things are difficult. Things may look bleak, as they did in the first reading for the king of Judah. But be firm in faith. so that you can be firm in yourself. Ask me for a sign. You know, sometimes we think that that's just wrong. And sometimes God is calling us to really have faith without signs. But there are also times, as we see in the first reading, where God says, ask me, I'll show you. And it may not be the great sign like Christ was, but little signs in our day. Ask me and I'll show you I'm listening. Ask me and I'll show you I love you. Ask me, petition me, be persistent. I will show you. I do love you. If I didn't, there would be no Christmas. If I didn't want to forgive you for those things you can't forgive yourself of, there would be no Christmas. If I didn't want for the salvation of the whole world, there would be no Christmas. And I don't think there's any child of God who wants to live in a world where there's no Christmas. Amen? Amen. So be encouraged. The Lord is with you. The Lord loves you. And the Lord will come for you. Amen?